That's awesome. Andrew's feeling it, feeling the music. All right, thank you very much, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. As always, I have Nate and Ian in the studio with me.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Yep, and of course, Andrew's manning the soundboard. If you want to give us a call, you will talk to Andrew. He'll pick up the phone and say, hey, it's KFNX. 602-277-KFNX is the number to call, 602-277-KFNX. And if you're listening online or somehow listening elsewhere outside of the Phoenix area, you can always call us on our 800 number, which you'll find on our website at chatterboxgameshow.com. What do we want to talk about today? If you go to the website now, you see that there's not a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, day's pretty dull. So
yeah.
It's been last week.
This is what happens periodically. These shows, the Game Developer Conference and the Electronic Entertainment Expo, E3, happens every year in March and then April. And then nothing happens. No new games are released, so we don't have much to talk about, like what we've been playing lately. And nothing is happening in the news. So right now, because we've got this hardware switchover from the old systems to the new systems happening the next year, basically all we do every week is talk about the potential of these new systems and the little bit of news that's leaked out about, you know, whatever new bit of information we have on these systems.
And the Halo movie.
Oh, and yeah. I do actually have a list of slightly newsworthy items to talk about, but I wanted to throw it out to you guys first to see if you have anything to discuss.
I guess the one thing I'm very gullible with the regards to the Revolution having free, potentially free downloadable games. I read this week that will not be the case. So
yeah, this is what we talked about last week, actually quite a bit on the show, if you were listening. I remember driving over to the studio, Nate's in the car, he's like, hey, did you hear that Nintendo's going to have all their games for free?
And I said it
download?
That, very excited.
Yeah, very excited, all the games for free, and I'm like, all right, calm down there, cowboy. Cause
I was giddy.
Yeah, something tells me, first of all, it's not going to be all the games, and second, I bet they're still going to be charging for stuff. But we worked out different scenarios, like maybe they're going to give, whatever they do give away would be free, right? And they'll only give them away, like, if you buy their new version of that game, or I don't know. A lot of different ideas.
Nintendo's still got to eat.
Yeah, of course. I do bet that they'll be giving away plenty of games for free. And that there will be some, like, promotional stuff. You know, if you pre-order this game, then you get a code that lets you download the old school Mario or whatever. But it did come out the day after we were talking about all this that they are going to charge for games. So a lot of news happens the day after our show because we do the show on Sunday.
They plan it for that,
yeah,
specifically.
People release stuff on Monday after the weekend. So sometimes we get screwed like that. But as usual, I like to let everybody know when I was right about something. So go me. All right. So something else, though. So much as all the games that have been coming out lately, not all the games, I guess it's a bit I don't know what the word is, exaggerative. I'd be exaggerating to say that all the games we play these days are sequels. But there's certainly a lot, and I'm wondering, like, I want to get a list together of the games that we want to see remade, rather than the games that we have been seeing remade over and over ad nauseum, right? Like, I talked about last week how I want Kid Icarus to be remade.
Yes, and how I would love that, too.
There's, like, a tiny grassroots group of people who say they want that game, but they forget to say it to the people who matter. They're just like, oh, yeah, that would be a good game.
What I want to see a sequel made to that, as far as I'm aware, they haven't, and I've wanted to see this for the longest time, Chip's Challenge for Windows, puzzle game.
Oh, you know what? I used to play that.
The Windows Entertainment Pack? That game was awesome.
I can't remember it enough, but I did play that quite a bit.
You had, like, a little character, and you had to, like, run around little areas and pick up all the chips, and, like, you would get, like, there were four different kinds of boots. Like, there was one that would let you walk on fire or swim.
Sounds like a lot of the games these days, like Mario.
Jeez,
hey, you've got
doors.
These eyes that are glazed over.
Hey.
Chip's Challenge.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was parable of Bill Gates and his wife is Melinda, right?
Oh, God, like I know.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, yeah.
Sure.
Because that's, yeah.
Nate knows.
Chip is trying to do it for Melinda, and so, yeah, I'm thinking.
Right.
I'm going way off topic now.
So, no, it's not. This Chip's Challenge, right? You know how you get a couple of games free when you get Windows, right? You've got your Solitaire and Minesweeper and whatever.
Yeah.
All right. So when they sell stuff to you in the store, they throw a bunch of extra crappy software on it that you don't want. Or you can buy it for $30 from Microsoft, like their Entertainment Pack or Entertainment Pack 2, Entertainment Pack 3. And so this would come with a bunch of games. And the Gateway, like, 486 computer that I had years ago, we had Microsoft Entertainment Pack 1, I think, and that had Chip's Challenge on it. And like Ian was saying, that was
I missed out on Chip's Challenge. So.
Oh, yeah. If anyone is still playing this, all right, here we go. This is good stuff. All right, you press Alt-F. You can skip to any level you want, and there's 5 secret levels at the end that you're supposed to know how to do that to get to them. I was so pleased when I heard about that.
All right. Yeah. I was not as big a fan of Chip's Challenge as Ian is, but yeah, go
what
Microsoft.
Else would I do when I'm 8 and with a computer?
I wasn't 8.
There weren't any good cartoons on.
Okay, so I want you both to think about this. When we come back from the break, we'll talk about the games that we want remade. Right now, like I said, Icarus is on my list.
Oh, at PC, but Fallout.
Didn't that have a sequel?
Yeah. But that's the only one I can think of right off the tip of my tongue.
All right, well, luckily, I'm a generous man, and I'll give you time.
Oh, thank you.
All right, now we mentioned the Halo movie. One of you guys brought that up.
Yeah.
They've been talking about that for a couple weeks now. Halo, the game made by Bungie, and then Bungie was bought by Microsoft, right? So it's a Microsoft property. They, instead of, you know, sending out a script to a million different companies and begging that the movie companies pick it up, they've approached these movie companies, like everybody, I guess, Paramount, Fox, Universal, I'm sure they went to everyone, and said, here, we've got this script and this very large, involved universe with all sorts of rules and stuff. We want you to make this movie. We want somebody to make it by our terms, right? You're going to give us this much money or residuals on the movie, and you're going to pay attention to this giant book of rules that we have regarding the movie, where if you change the script, it's got to adhere to all these rules of the universe and back storylines and future-looking storylines and all that. And it looks like a couple studios are actually thinking about going along with this, with a few negotiations, of course, because no one goes into negotiations and just says okay with everything.
And besides, there's two companies that are already busy with the Doom movie and the Metroid movie. And...
Well, Doom's done.
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
But yeah. I don't really see it as a Doom movie. Now it's just like some Eastern European town that's taken over by zombies.
They didn't...
not Mars?
They did not adhere to the rules of
anomaly
Doom.
Yeah.
For those that...
No.
But The Rock's going to be the Sarge, so it's going to be a hit. That's as far as I can tell.
And Vin Diesel in that?
No, it's The Rock.
Man. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You're out of touch. Yeah.
It's actually...
I play WoW all day.
That's a problem.
And beat Mania.
I'm going to finish up this discussion of Halo very quickly. Apparently, they reached a deal with Universal Pictures and 20th Century Fox. I don't know how you make a deal with two different companies, but the way things go, there's always 12 trailers before the movie of you know, The Flash. Before the movie starts, that it's made by New Line Cinemas, and it's made by Warner Brothers, and it's made by somebody else, and it's made by somebody else. I never know how that works. So they're going to make the movie based on Halo and Halo 2, even though what I previously read was that it was sort of like the world of Halo 3. Anyway, they're going to give Microsoft $10 million instead of the $15 million they wanted, and 5%... No, 5 instead of the $10 million they wanted, and 10% of the box office instead of 15% that they wanted. Which is probably what Microsoft expected, right?
Yeah.
Cut the numbers, but take the script and adhere to our rules, which is great. I'm very excited to see a Halo movie that isn't completely bastardized.
When you're saying about like how it's going to be in the world of Halo 3, this kind of reminds me in a backwards way of what they did with The Matrix when they had the movies, and then they had Enter the Matrix, which was supposed to be part of the story and a continuation.
So this would be the reverse, you're saying?
Yeah, this would be the reverse, that there's games, and then they made a movie that... Yeah,
well, they already have the books, if you weren't aware. There's
quite a few of them, actually.
There's at least 3 that you can buy in like a box set of the Halo novels, and there's probably a bunch of fan-made fiction out there as well. But as far as I know, there's just the 3 books, and I never read them. I don't know the timeline they cover, but the game and the storyline is very, very involved, and it actually, I don't know if it's directly tied in with Bungie's older stuff, but I know that like one of the main symbols used in the Halo game is carried over from the Marathon games that they made back for the Mac a long time ago. Ooh. And like one of the levels in Halo 2 is a remake of one of the levels from Marathon. And so I have a feeling it's sort of intertwined with that world. But since I never had a Mac growing up, I never played Marathon, and I can't distinguish what is a carryover and what isn't.
The only Mac I ever had when I was little was the ones that they had at school.
Oh.
And I always got angry because I kept trying to right-click stuff and nothing would happen. Cause...
I actually owned one of those. I bought it for $50 off somebody.
Really?
But yeah, I had the old Wolfenstein games
Oh, I had that for PC.
No, I had it for the
and
Apple.
Spear of Destiny.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
There were a lot of really old
Hey, I had it too.
Shooters.
I can't complain or call you guys names. But I didn't have a Mac. Nothing against them. That's another bit of news we should discuss, actually. The Apple going for Intel. I'm sure you're both aware of this, right? Apple decided they're going to make computers with Intel chips instead of IBM chips. Which is kind of funny because Microsoft went from using an Intel chip in their Xbox to using an IBM chip in their Xbox 360. But I guess I won't read too much into that because I don't know enough to speak intelligently about the chips involved in the system. All right, so we've got a minute before the break. No, we don't. What do we have, Andrew? We've got like a second? 1 minute. All right, so this is something I read too, which we should probably discuss a little bit more as well. I remember before the show, we were talking about the hard drive in the PS3. And we've talked on the show in the past about how people were confused and thought it was coming with a hard drive and they should have known better that it would never have one. But I guess Ken Kutaragi, big PlayStation god, godfather, whatever you want to call him, he said that it's not going to come with a hard drive for the reason that no matter what, it would be too small. Like, however much they gave us, we would always want more. So he's just going to let people buy whatever hard drive they want, presumably, and connect it, I assume, through USB. And it's supposed to have some slot for, like, a 2.5-inch hard drive, but I have a feeling people will just buy USB ones because they'll be cheaper. But if you buy a hard drive for the PS3, you can run Linux on the PS3.
Ooh.
And if you buy one that's specially sold for the PS3, which is weird because he said they wouldn't, I guess it's supposed to come packaged with Linux. That's a really big deal, and we should talk a little bit more about that after break. We will be right back. If you want to call us at 602-277-KFNX. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
We're back with the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Make sure you check out chatterboxgameshow.com to learn more about our show and what we're doing. Really, there's not all that much on the site, but it tells you about the show and when you should listen. And of course, the phone number to call if you are outside of the Phoenix area. If you're in the Phoenix area, call us at 602-277-KFNX. We've got questions. We've got answers. We've got everything you need. Before we continue, I also want to remind you that you should go to uat.edu if you want to get into the video game industry. You can learn how to do the art and all the programming necessary to get your foot in the door. These guys right here are doing it themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Booyah. Okay, so I was mentioning the PS3 can run Linux. PS2 could do the same thing, but it wasn't widely known or distributed. You could buy the Linux kit for the PS2. And you get the hard drive, a keyboard, a mouse, and a VGA cable, so you can hook it up to your computer and stuff, or your monitor, and just flat out run Linux. And the point was that they wanted you to use the PS2 to, like, unlock your creative power and just use the system to be what you want it to be.
In no way related to Mario Paint.
Build games. No way related to Mario Paint, right? Build games. Just like with the PlayStation in Japan, the original PlayStation, there was something called the PlayStation Net Yaroze. And
something like that.
Yeah, and so you got like a special white or gray or altered colored PlayStation, and you got I don't know enough about it. You could build the games on your PC or something, and then transfer it and play it on the PlayStation. And there was a special locked, you know, internet community that if you had the password, you could get in there and distribute your games to other people, and you could share your stuff and play things that other people made. It was kind of neat. I actually got a code into that system once and was able to see the community and how it all worked, and I didn't want to go to the trouble of actually running any of this stuff, but
Check out how many of them all they do is say hello world.
No, I mean there were some things, and you could go see the pictures, the demos, and talk about it. But it's like you could do the same thing on your PC without going to the trouble. And so it's neat to run on your PlayStation if you're actually building it, or like you want to show your skills to other people to get a job or something. But
yeah, that's about the only thing I can think of.
From my perspective, it had no function. But the PS2 Linux kit is a very similar idea. Unfortunately, Sony, when you bought it, they would hand over a bunch of manuals to understand the system and how to program for the system and the hardware that you had access to. But they didn't release everything. The input-output structure, they gave you the libraries and stuff you needed to interact with it, but they didn't let you really mess with it too much. And there was something else that the access was very limited.
Because you might do something that Sony didn't want.
Circumvent their securities or whatever. They gave you full access and manuals to a lot of stuff, but there were a couple of key things that they restricted you. They didn't give you the stuff you needed, which I guess is in their interests. Great.
But also gives you more of a reason to do it on your computer. Yeah.
The cool thing was that it wasn't very expensive, only $200, and you got, you know, the copy of Linux, and you got the hard drive, which wasn't even available, and you got all the hardware you needed to run it. So that was great. And if I knew what I was doing, I would have used it a lot more instead of letting it sit in a box. But
I'm
the PS3...
still learning Linux myself.
Here's what's great, right? People have run Linux on the Xbox and clustered it. Some guy did a case study clustering 10 Xboxes together and, you know, for whatever, to calculate something or to run a server or whatever.
Something
to be a
Xbox
powerful computer,
related.
Right? But the whole point of this PlayStation 3 is being a cell processor, right? Where you're connecting a lot of cores together and multi-threaded processing and all that stuff. And so running Linux with PS3 with the gigabit Ethernet should be a very entertaining thing to watch when people are hooking up 10 PS3s together and basically having this big supercomputer because they're running Linux and have access to parallel processing and
start
all that stuff.
Start playing chess.
Put a tape drive in it.
they'll use it to write Hello World programs.
Yes, yeah.
So it'll be fun to see what people are
really
able to
fast.
Do with it. Yeah. Unfortunately, once again, Sony will surely limit the access people have to the hardware itself. So it'll still be limited, but I have a feeling this is definitely in the right direction. And they always refer to it as a computer rather than a video game console, so that's cool.
It's the next step.
Yeah, I'm kind of fearful that I've totally bored you guys, so I'm going to move on a little bit more. We had talked about the workers, the voice actors.
Oh, yeah, they have a tentative agreement, so you can stop holding your breath, everyone.
I thought this was decided on, but all right, so you give me the details that you understand.
Well, as far as I know, I guess they're going to get a little extra boost in pay, but they still won't get any residuals.
Yes.
But they still want, obviously, more.
Yeah. Well, they'll always want more because they're Hollywood.
Yeah.
What I understand is basically just what you said. I remember last week we were saying that the standard pay for voice acting in a video game was $275 an hour.
Yeah.
And,
whoa.
Yeah.
Can I get a job in that now, please?
You only get like one of those jobs maybe like 2-3 times a month. Or a year.
You said you'd be lucky to get it 4 times in a year, and I'm like, all right, well then get another job.
Work. Yeah.
So you do work in other things.
Yeah, or you're probably working for more than 1 hour.
Yeah, I figure if they're going to use that excuse to mean that they need to get paid more and get residuals, be like, all right, then if somebody approaches you for a job the rest of the year, you can't take it.
Yeah.
Because you're mine, and you have to be ready to do voice acting at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
So anyway, they were bitching that they didn't get enough jobs, so that it needed to pay more. And $275 an hour is plenty, in my opinion. But now they have an agreement where they're going to get $700 an hour. Yeah, more than double. And the video game companies that hire these people are going to pay more money, or pay some money as opposed to no money. I don't know how it works. Into the benefits that SAG, the Screen Actors Guild, and some other union has, right? So they'll have to pledge money to these benefits programs and also pay a hell of a lot more for their voice actors.
Right.
But like Nate said, they won't be getting any residuals because, damn it, a lot of other people deserve it.
Yeah, if they're going to get it, I think anybody that worked on the game for, what, say 4 years, maybe they should get it before the people that came in, like, maybe 6 hours over the course of, you know, a couple of years to do.
I'd like to think so. Andrew, you don't get residuals for the shows that air on this show, do you?
Or on this, show.
On the station, though.
Other shows, but this show.
All right, so you get a check for, like, 3 cents every week? No? Yes?
Sometimes.
I'll tell you what. I am not getting any checks for running this show. I don't have a paycheck show up in my mailbox.
You don't?
Because it's played on the internet. You know, because we have a podcast or something. It doesn't just show up at my door magically. That'd be nice, though. Maybe I should start advertising in the podcast. Wouldn't everybody love that?
Money rains from your ceiling.
Yeah, you have to press the fast forward button more often than usual from now on. So there's some other things. I noticed this was sort of buried in a news bit that I was reading about something else. Apparently AOL has a video game soundtrack radio station. I'm surprised that you wouldn't know about this, Ian, because this
seems right up your alley. Yeah, well, I did listen to internet radio. Now I own the CDs, so I like listen to video game soundtracks on my own. But yeah, most of the things I listened to, it was, you know, somebody had like a series of games they liked, so they had all the soundtracks in that series, so they would just, you know, stream all that. But yeah, no, I hadn't heard about this AOL thing.
Right. So if you have AOL, like a lot of people unfortunately have, and you go to the keyword radio. It was funny because I read the article saying they've got the station that plays all these soundtracks, right? Just go to keyword radio on AOL and you'll be there. I'm like, I don't think so. I bet there's a lot of other stuff you see when you type in that keyword.
Yeah.
But if you type in the keyword radio and then search for something related to video games, I bet you'll be able to find it and then have your soundtrack radio station.
AOL has just locked out everything else related to radio so that if you type it in, it goes specifically to their product.
Exactly. Now, I'll tell you what, though. I had a poker game Friday that Nate completely wussed out on.
All right, listen. I was sick. I was getting sick.
Yeah, you're coughing up a storm, let me tell
you. That's right.
So, Nate didn't show up, but if he was there, he would have heard everybody bitching about me turning on the Katamari Damacy soundtrack.
No, they cannot complain about that.
Nobody even knew what it was. And then the song would say Katamari Damacy in it, and I'd be like, all right, guys, where is this from? And they had no idea. So
Japan?
They were just like, what the hell is this crap? Turn this off. Bring back Weezer.
Something they can understand what they're saying.
Well, in their defense, you do kind of play some different music, I'd say.
I'm trying to open up their ears, man, to new horizons.
I will just admit what I have on my iPod right now, which I'm now holding up. I know like people listening can't see it. But yeah, what I primarily listen to is I've got just a ton of DDR songs.
Dude, I did that
for
a while. I would just listen to the DDR songs. But when they're only like a minute and a half, it gets annoying.
Yeah, well, but this is when it gets annoying, except, like, to me, I have Love, Love, Shine. I just, like, put it on a loop. I'll just listen to that. So I could play it really well. But...
All right. I don't think you're allowed to talk for the rest of the show. that's the music. So we're going to be back. News is coming up, and we'll be back after the news. Make sure you go to chatterboxgameshow.com to check out everything about our show. We'll be back in just a couple minutes.
Where else are you going to find a Master of Science program in technology that creates thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology? Where else are you going to discover a graduate degree in technology that is customized to meet your objectives? Where else in the Valley, on campus or online, can you study at the only private university that gives you the opportunity to focus in specialized areas like network security, artificial life programming, and game studies, as well as technology management? Where else? Where else but the University of Advancing Technology? UAT's graduate technology program is accelerated. It combines business with technology. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in high-tech fields. Feed your brain, lead, manage. You won't find this innovative environment anywhere else. UAT, the select private university where you'll be fully immersed in technology. The experience is unrivaled. Click uat.edu. That's uat.edu.
We're back here at the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. You can call us, 602-277-KFNX, if you're local to Phoenix. If you're not, you can go to our website at chatterboxgameshow.com. We've got an 800 number up there, or an 866 number, which is toll-free anywhere in the country. So give us a call if you have a question, because like I said before, we have answers.
And questions, apparently.
Well, we have lots of them, because people ask us a question, and I say, well, wait a minute, sir.
What do you mean?
What is it that you want to do? Yeah, we should talk about my quest for a projector, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's an epic.
Yeah, I don't really want
to
get into it right now.
That.
Maybe I'll save that for next week. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been searching for a video projector to use in my house for home theater and video games. Wow. Like, if you're one of those people who'd like to do research before you buy an expensive thing, which you should be that sort of person, because if you're not, you just don't do your due diligence, and that's your fault, and I blame you. So... buying a projector, big pain in the butt, and I don't know why I even brought it up. I'll talk about it next week, maybe, because we got some other stuff to talk about. But wow, do I not want to do this anymore? There's too many out there. What I do want to talk about is Miyamoto-san, father of a lot of video games, Donkey Kong, Mario, Zelda, Kid Icarus. I think he had a part.
No, I think Gunpei Yokoi did Kid Icarus.
All right.
Anyway,
I'll leave that to you.
But I digress.
But he certainly did a lot of games. My favorite, Mario. And he's been quoted as saying that games are too long these days. And I think there's a lot to discuss there. Because...
I, for one, agree.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's certain instances where, yeah, a long game is preferable. But there's a lot of games where you just kind of continuously just do the same thing over and over again.
Well, I think it's a little hypocritical of him to say that because he's made... a lot of games that are very long.
And this is where I want to...
This is true.
Yeah.
This is what I want to get into here.
I don't
think...
A game
like Zelda is very long, and you pretty much have to do everything before you can go to the end. But I always saw Mario as being, like, the pillar of design on his part. Really, like, what represents him and his style. And so when he says something like that, like, the game's too long, I can understand. Like you said, he's made long games.
Yeah.
But then I think about Super Mario 64, which I've said before, in my opinion, is the best game ever made. And Super Mario Sunshine is, you know, a very similar styled game.
And I thought it was particularly long. Like, I love Mario 64. Mario 64 is awesome. But yeah, Mario Sunshine, I thought it went on for more than I wanted to, especially because every level was mainly kind of the same beach theme.
Yeah, but... and Sunshine did the long game thing a little bit more than 64 did, but it was the same where... He makes this game, which is very engrossing, and has a lot of different worlds so that you can have different experiences throughout the game. And this is one of the reasons I love Mario games so much, because you're always doing something new. Like, ever since... Actually, even with Mario 2, it had different worlds, but I don't like to consider that a Mario game, because it's really not. But
you mean Mario 2 for the NES?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Mario 3 is really where it all started, where you had these different worlds, and then lots of different levels in the worlds, but... Even starting off, the very first one that was in that style, hell, even the very first Super Mario Brothers did this, where you could play through everything, but you didn't have to. You could warp through and you could do it more quickly. So if you wanted to experience the game, you wanted to go from start to finish, you could do that without going through the entire lengthy process.
Yeah.
Or you could go to those pipes that, like, in the second area where you, like, climb up on the ceiling and you find the pipes that
bring
you to the
Or if you wanted to warp super far, you could do the crazy walk through the brick trick. And go all the way to level 7 from world 1-2.
Or go to the minus world if you wanted to waste your time.
Nate once again stares at us with blank eyes.
No, I'm just taking it all in.
Okay, so Mario 64 is the best example of this, I think, because there's just a million different things you can do. You can go into the ghost world. I guess you can do this with all the Mario games, but go into the ghost world, go into the water world, go into the air world, go to the magic carpet worlds, all sorts of different levels. But you could finish the game with, like, only half the stars necessary. And that means you could finish the game with playing less than half the levels, which meant, you know, he doesn't like having these long games. Well, great, you can play his game and not take a long time to do it. But if you're the hardcore gamer,
if
who
you
does
really
want to
get everything out of it,
if you're
a
completionist like I am,
exactly. And on top of that, like, it's not just get enough stars to go to the end, and then if you want to play the rest, you can play the rest. But they're going to be the same as all the stuff you already did. Like, everything was unique. And I repeat, that's why I love these games. And so, like, what were some of the games he gave as examples for being too long? Did he?
I don't recall.
Like, his only two was, like, San Andreas, GTA, and there was another one.
He listed Halo and GTA.
That's right, yeah.
But I'm not sure if
he didn't really give any examples of the overly long games.
But there are some clear examples anyway, though.
Yeah.
Like, I can think, I played through a lot of Deus Ex 2 for the Xbox. And I think back to the, like, I really got into it. I liked a lot of the features of it and how I could sort of develop my own storyline. Not really my own, but it wasn't always the same. You could do things that varied it a bit. And that was cool, but I stopped playing for whatever reason and never went back. And I think, like, I really got the experience of that game. It's like, I didn't have to play the whole thing.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to invest that much time. And RPGs are a perfect example of this. And
yeah.
I've always, you know, decreed that I am not an RPG player.
I will not begin to list the clock time that I have on pretty much every RPG that I have, but it's long.
Yeah, and, like, you are one of those guys who loves them, and I am not, because I don't like monotony, and boy, are RPGs monotonous.
Well, some of them are, and those are the ones I don't like.
Well, but regardless of which one you do, like, all you're doing is waiting to get a newer spell so that when you cast it, you can see a different graphic on the screen, but
it does more damage.
Oh, my. The whole game, you're just sitting there pressing fight, run, magic, do this
summon
spell, do that spell. Exactly.
Well, that's only Final Fantasy VI. But
and then,
the
like, when you're not in your fight scenes, you gotta go to this town to get the magic green potion to save my daughter so my daughter can give you the feather, and with the feather you can go through the door, and when you get in the door you can beat the bad guy and get the dagger, and when you get the dagger you can go to
this
the dragon.
This is more
and
more like World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Well,
I spend way too much time on that.
You know how I feel about MMOs, even worse than RPGs.
Yeah, I never liked MMOs myself. I just like WoW.
Oh, yeah, sure. You don't like them at all. You just say you spend all your time playing them.
I just like WoW, which there is why go. I'm playing
WoW. I can't really talk. I kind of play Guild Wars a lot.
Oh.
Probably not as much as you. Yeah. You know, you probably play more in a day than I do in a week.
I have not played Guild Wars.
You haven't?
No. I haven't even played any other MMO all that much. I should probably look into Guild Wars.
Really, it all comes down, in my opinion, if you're enjoying yourself, then that's all that
matters. That's all that matters. Oh, yeah.
And that's cool, right? But I get to express my opinion because I have this forum to do so.
Yeah.
But I love the Mario games because of their variety, and I never really cared to finish them quickly. Like, I would never finish them with... Would I? You know what? I would probably finish it pretty quickly without doing every little thing first, but I'd always go back and do more because it was fun and every experience you had in the game was unique when compared to all the other ones you already had.
It's
I love that.
Like Super Metroid, I bring this up fairly often. I can, like, it was one of those games where you could play it the first time and make it through your way, get everything minimal. And then you could play it again and try to get every item in the game, or you could figure out ways to bypass other parts of the game. And in that, there were multiple different areas.
I enjoyed that in Metroid as well. I enjoyed finding all the super secrets in Metroid, which they sort of took out as the games, you know, got more refined in all the versions. There's not as many
Metroid
secrets.
Prime, you could, if you go back to that, there's little glitches. Like, you can get the space jump boots immediately after you land on Talon 4, and from there you can skip large chunks of the game. You can get the plasma beam immediately after getting the wave beam. It's cool.
You're talking to the guy who has not played past the first level, so...
Oh, do that.
Yeah.
Just to let everyone know, I do have the glazed look over my eyes right now, so...
Oh, yeah, I wasn't allowed to talk.
No, it's cool. It's it's important that we have a hardcore gamer here on the show.
Yeah, we need one of those people.
Hardcore Metroid fan.
I have this history of playing a little bit of a whole lot of different games. And that's why I appreciate a shorter game, or a game that gets you right into the actual important part of the game very quickly. And that's one reason I don't play RPGs, because I don't have the time to invest in the RPG. There's just too much to do. Also, I find it really monotonous. Also, I don't like reading in my games too much. And most of them make you do that. So I can understand what Miyamoto's saying. And a lot of the games are getting huge. They say, like, if it doesn't have, you know, 50 hours of gameplay, then why am I paying $50 for it, right?
Well, wasn't there a trend that they have just kind of started, like, well, games don't have to be that long, you know? And games can be only, you know, 10 hours, if less,
yeah,
and still be fun.
That's pretty recent. And that's cool. Like,
I like that idea myself.
I like it if they take advantage and actually make the short game good. And what a lot of companies have done is add a serious multiplayer component to the game so that the single player doesn't have to be as extensive and you still get the gameplay out of it.
Well, especially like RTS, now they're just becoming like the single player is just pretty much, it's like a tutorial to get onto the multiplayer.
Yeah. And I mean, nowadays we can do that because we have online a lot more
available.
It's got a much bigger impact, yeah, and a lot more availability to everybody. Whereas back in the day, you needed that single-player experience or you weren't playing the game. And, I mean, I don't like it when I get a game and it's single-player and I play through in 5 hours, it's done, and, you know, I look back at my $50 receipt and wonder what the hell I was thinking. That's frustrating.
Well,
but when there's a multiplayer component, you can play more.
I was going to say, what makes the whole thing different is that a game can be long and it loses its effect because you're kind of doing the same thing over and over again. However, if a game is really short, and it's had a lot of attention put into like a replay value, it gives you a reason to play it again.
Well, that's the problem. A lot of games, like these days, like
literally
I said,
replay value.
Multiplayer is adding the replay into it.
Yes.
But there was a huge thing lacking in a lot of games in the past where we didn't have multiplayer, you played through the game, and you would never touch it again. And I have a lot of those on my wall at home. So we'll talk more about Nintendo when we get back. Like I said, we have a phone number, and you can call it. 602-277-KFNX. We'll be right back after the break.
hackers. They're everywhere, and I'm not talking about the kind trying to infect your company's website. No, you're under attack from the competition, stifling your research, preventing your career change, stopping you from having your own business or advancing your career. Make the University of Advancing Technology's graduate degree in technology your first line of defense in the fight against life's hackers. The Master of Science in Technology from UAT is unlike any other program around. Focus in customized areas like network security, artificial life programming, game studies, technology management, and e-commerce. UAT's program is accelerated. It offers the flexibility to adapt quickly to changes that come in the high-tech field. It's really about creating thinkers who understand how business works and how to apply the technology. Learn, experience, innovate at the only local private university totally immersed in technology. Click uat.edu. UAT.edu.
We're back, everybody, with the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Call us at 602-277-KFNX. I know you won't, but I tell you anyway. Also, if you want to learn how to get into the industry, you should go to UAT.edu. The University of Advancing Technology has all the tools you need to get into the industry. We were talking about Miyamoto and what he said about games being too long, and I just went off on this big tangent about why Mario's the best ever.
And I rambled on for a while, which wound up, but both of this ironically became too long.
Yeah. Something else that's been going on is Nintendo Revolution, we found out this week, wasn't going to do anything in high definition. And we could glaze over that with just a simple mention, but I think it's important for us to look into it for at least a second.
At least a second.
Nate, I called him, or he called me, or we both called
you
each
called,
other.
Yeah, you called me, and then I called you.
Before the show, and he's like, did you hear Nintendo's not going HD? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then he's telling me it's not that big a deal. I'm like, well,
I don't think it's that big of a deal, because, like, I believe I told you during one of the breaks that, you know, we did play games before there was HD television, and they were fun, so
it's
I don't...
It's true. And my rebuttal there is that we used to watch television in black and white, and now we don't. And if someone made a black and white game that, like, didn't have some reason for being black and white, we would be upset, right? And what's more important to me about this is that the Revolution's supposed to come out the end of next year. My guess is September, because that's when their systems always come out. Although I guess the GameCube came out in November.
It's just in time for Christmas,
yeah,
either way.
In time for Christmas. It'll probably
around
be
that season-y
September
area.
To November, they'll release it, right? And everything's going to high definition as soon as the year change hits 2007. So at least it's supposed to. Who knows what will actually happen. But the plans
it was
are,
supposed to happen back in 2000. But
yeah. I guess that's only for America. Like, this is the worldwide rule, although other countries are discussing it too, I think. So anyway, everything on television is supposed to go to high definition. That's why we have all these high-def TVs out there. And eventually, you're going to be absolutely forced to buy a special box so that you can convert the high-def stuff you're getting to work on your old school antiquated television. Or you go out and buy an HDTV.
Which is what they want you to do.
Yeah. And the thing is, what's going to happen is all the TVs, they're going to have special deals on them. Basically everyone's going to have an HDTV by the time 2007 rolls around. And that's going to be right about when everybody's buying this new Nintendo Revolution system. So for them to not go HD, it's just dumb because it's just silly. Why not? Everyone's going to do it. And
it was going to cost more for developers. I think it's a little bit of a cop-out for them.
Here's the reason it costs more. Let me explain this. It's not that, like, the system would cost more because the processing power, like, you could do slightly more in 480p than you could do in 720, right? It's a little bit more taxing on the processor. But today, like, we have stuff that can handle it.
Yeah.
The chips can do the job. But when you have to make... Nintendo caters to the widest audience possible, and the young kids who have the hand-me-down televisions that
well,
used to
he
work
was
in 1960.
Saying in that article that he wants it's kind of being a family-oriented console.
Yeah,
it's
and of
for
course
everyone to play.
Sony and Microsoft are saying the same thing now, except Nintendo means it.
Because they're Nintendo.
Yeah, but also like this is going to be running in the 10-year-old's bedroom, and he has the TV that Grandma had when she was living in her house on Elm Street 20, 30 years ago. So this kid's TV has to work with the Revolution, and that means you're going to have to make the games in 4x3 to accommodate this kid's TV, or you would expect that they would make a 4x3 game. And then if they want to make it HD, it's going to be a widescreen game. And that means the developers have to think about what they're doing in terms of screen display. I think the obvious solution to this is to just make everything widescreen. And if you're playing with 480p, cut off the top of the bottom of the screen. I certainly wouldn't care.
Well, I'm thinking about this, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it just really seems that every time Nintendo releases something, they're just slightly behind the curve. Like with the GameCube, they didn't have a lot of like internet compatibility, and now the Revolution does. So they're kind of catching up with the Xbox, doing it and whatnot.
The irony there, by the way, is that the Xbox 360 won't be natively wireless, and everybody else is. And they're the ones who are big in the internet.
All three companies just kind of like running around a room, bumping into each other every so often.
That's really what it is. And this, like you said, Nintendo's behind the times, and they're not going to high definition. And if the system was coming out a year earlier, I might understand it. But the amount of systems that are sold in the first 3 months really don't represent the population of the system. The market penetration. And so these systems are all going to be sold when every American has an HDTV, or a lot of them have it. And so to say, well, we're going to make it in 480p, or we're going to make it not high definition because it's going to cost more, right? Which basically means we don't want to have two different things going on in these games at the same time. They're just silly. They should say, all right, all your games need to be widescreen so that we can work in HD, because that's what everyone's going to have. Because then they're going to have HD in their next system and wonder why they didn't in this one. I don't know. You're absolutely right. It's not a big deal. The games are going to look great.
Yeah.
But it's going to piss people off.
Well, where's the foresight?
Why piss them off? There's no reason to, because your system can handle it. And I don't understand.
And they're giving you money. Why anger them?
Yeah. For some reason, they're trying to say that it's going to cost a lot of money. And I'm not sure what the advantage is for them.
Yeah, I'm not really sure either.
Maybe they just want more news to stand away from the herd. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm sure they've got a good reason, because their business.
Well, I mean, they also went on about how everyone was going to be able to just sit down and play due to their special controller, which they haven't quite invented yet. Mm-hmm. So
I bet the controller is the TV, man, and that's why it's not going to be high def. It's going to be 320 by 240. You're going to have to stare at the screen for an hour before you figure out what's going on. That'll be fun.
It'll be like a Game Boy.
Yeah. So Nintendo's saying we don't have to be hardcore like everybody else. They're not concentrating on the games.
They're old school. They're retro.
Yeah. Everybody else is concentrating on the graphics. We're concentrating on the games. And I applaud them for that. They're absolutely right.
Applaud them that.
They are going to have the most entertaining games on the market. Everybody else is just going to have rehashes.
Eye candy.
Yeah. Well, when we give them that list of the remakes that we want, they're just going to be making those remakes and nothing else.
Yeah.
And Nintendo is going to have some originality. Unfortunately, it's going to be just like the DS, just like I predicted, where Nintendo is going to be the only company that makes a good game for their system, and nobody else will. Because that's what happens over and over and over with Nintendo systems.
But at least we can trust Nintendo with making a good game.
Yeah. And that's why it's important their system only costs $100, so you don't take a big dive when you're only going to have three games on the system.
Yeah. This might be why they're concerned about price. Yeah, like with how the GameCube costs less than the PS2 and the Xbox, and then they always brought the price down.
They're always trying to market it to a lower denominator, I guess, than Microsoft and Sony are. They're not going after the technophiles. They're going after the family, like Nate was saying. And that's a really important, I wouldn't call it a niche, but a demographic for them to hit, because, you know, the other guys aren't. And so they can get that.
And then there's the odd person like me that digs the Nintendo stuff because I like their games.
It's not too odd. There's a bunch out there.
Unite!
I'll be getting the Revolution. As soon as they tell me what that controller's all about, I'll be a lot more excited about their system. For now, all they're doing is giving us bad news. But that's all right. I mean, right now, all the companies are like, head-to-head just complaining about each other. Did you read this thing about ATI saying the Xbox is going to be just as capable as the PS3?
Yeah.
All right, so ATI stepped forward and said, the Xbox 360 with its triple processing, whatever, and the way we developed it, it's going to be able to push graphics out just as well as the PS3, even though the PS3 is spec'd out way better. And I think they're full of crap, but once again, we'll see how it actually pans out. Ken Kutaragi, we mentioned before, father of PlayStation, on the PlayStation side, is talking about how everybody else isn't really doing anything special, and how, like, the Xbox 360 is only a competition for the PlayStation 2.
They better shut up, or I'm going to turn this car around right now.
Yeah, like, they keep bitching at each other, and I don't know. There was a game developers conference once where they had, I don't know if it was all three, but they definitely had like the PlayStation guy and the Microsoft guy up on stage at the same time. They sort of like, we're going to talk about what's good about our system. This is before the PS2 and the Xbox came out. They were talking about the future, what was going to happen. And it was just really funny to see them each give their pitches, which you know were prepared well in advance, and whether or not the exact words were prepared, like the ideas were. And Sony always comes out and just talks about their numbers and how they're going to blow everybody away, right? And then Nintendo comes out and talks about the games and the emotion and the feeling and everything. This might have been Sega, Nintendo, and Sony.
Yeah, that sounds more
way back in the day, like around the Dreamcast time, right? And then Sega or Microsoft, whoever it was, comes out and says something sort of in the middle, right? We're really powerful, but we care at the core of our gaming hearts, right? But it's weird that there's this spectrum of how Sony acts and how they've always acted and how they will continue to be. And then Nintendo has just a more, like, gamer-centric point of view. And anyway.
They're trying to be modest.
Yeah, I like them. We all like them, and that's why everybody is a Nintendo lover.
It's okay if anyway, they sound like a presidential debate.
Yeah, this is the end of our show, everybody. Thanks for listening. You'll be able to check this out on the podcast at our website, chatterboxgameshow.com, as soon as I put it up, probably within about a week. All right, we're going to go. We'll be here next week. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.